Welcome to episode 199, the penultimate episode of the Hunting Party Podcast. I'm Arth from the Warcraft Hunters Union.
And I'm Dark Brew from thebrewhall.com and thebrewhall on Twitter.
And missing today is Ollie Sonder from the Hunting Party Podcast.
And speaking of today, it is Saturday, January the 4th, 2014. Happy New Year, everyone. And if you want to participate in the chat room and have your name mangled on the air by us, just create a cool huntry name and join in the fun.
Yep, and speaking of the chat room, today we are joined by Bad Language, Banya, BM Jaeger, Cab, Druid Tamer, the artist formerly known as Frostheim, Induakes, Lagerwolf, Morgatho, Scruffy Slugslinger, Stormovic, and Vulture Eye. A little bit smaller chat room than normal, but I assume it's because we're sort of in the holiday doldrums and we haven't had a show in a little while. But hopefully we get a giant group for episode 200. I know people have already been sending me emails and stuff saying, when is it going to be? What are you going to be doing? I also see a couple people popping in here late to the chat room that I missed. So welcome to everyone who's coming in, even as I speak. And our lovely moderator usually is Ollie Sonder. We don't know where she is right now. So you can send your questions into, let's say, Dark Brew, because I'm reading this line. And so I have that license. In a private message, by left-clicking his name, selecting PM, and typing in the new tab. Or you can send your questions into huntingpartypodcast@gmail.com. So this is also useful because you can also send in questions, comments, suggestions, goodbyes, etc. for episode 200. They won't be read on the show today, but we're going to be collecting those, and if there's anything you want read on the air for episode 200, you're more than welcome to send that in to either of us or the Hunting Party Podcast Gmail account. And that is actually our first announcement for today.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and please send us an email. We've already got one good email to read on that episode, so we'd like to get some more along those lines. So
awesome.
But yeah, so I guess I cut you off there. Sorry, episode 200, yeah, the final episode of the Hunting Party Podcast. What did we say, January the 18th now? That's when we're going to do it.
Yes, we just finalized the date. It's going to be in 2 weeks, January 18th. As far as we know, according to the last communication that we have had with each of our potential guests, that day works for everyone. So the tentative, and again, this is, like I said, according to... and I've talked to most of these people as recently as yesterday. This works for everyone involved. Here's what we're hoping our guest list is for episode 200. We have all of the current hosts. That's myself, Dark Brew, and Ollie Sonder. Past hosts, Euripides and Frostheim. And special guest, Big Red Kitty, Michelle Morrow, and Zahara of Female Dwarf fame. So it's going to be a gigantic podcast with, I'm sure, as many people as we've ever had on by quite a bit. And Zahara reminded me the other day that she was actually on the very first Hunting Party Podcast. She was on episode one. So
She was our very first guest on the show.
Yeah, it was Yuri, Dark, and Zahara was the very first podcast. So she's going to get to complete the circle here. So that's going to be exciting. Episode 200, if this is your first time tuning in for quite a while, is going to be our final episode. I've actually heard a couple hunters within the community express some interest in keeping it going, but we don't have definite plans for that. So this iteration of the Hunting Party Podcast will be ending at 200. So it's been a great run, and I've only been involved for like the last maybe 50 or so episodes, but I mean, it's been a hell of a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, I'm enjoying it, and I still have a hard time thinking that this is going to be it. I mean, it is the right time. I mean, certainly for me, and I think for everything else going on, but it's hard to do. I've enjoyed this immensely, like every Saturday just coming on here to spend an hour or so just talking about World of Warcraft and hunters. I mean, it's just been an absolute treat, and the fact that we've had all these great listeners who are willing to listen to us natter on and blather about this stuff sometimes. I mean, it's been incredible. Without those folks, we'd have no reason to be here. So I mean, it's just been an amazing experience, which I will remember for a very, very long time. I'm very, very grateful to have been able to do this.
Yeah, and I used to annoy my guildies in Vent with just talking about hunters, because that was really all I wanted to chat about. And unless it was, hey, let's do this to help the raid, it was hunter stuff. So I was always thrilled to find people to chat with who were willing to put up with how much I wanted to talk about Hunters, and of course this is sort of the mecca of that. I see Frostheim in the chat room says that he's trying to whip out an episode 200 audio trailer for you. That would be great. So I'm not quite sure what that would look like or sound like, but yeah, that sounds awesome. So we will anticipate Frostheim whipping it out here in the next week or so.
Yeah, and episode 200 will be fun. I think there's going to be... God.
Sorry. I couldn't help it. I was trying to come up with jokes when I saw that like 2 minutes ago, and that was the best I could do. But go ahead.
Yeah, maybe the title for our show, Frostheim Whips It Out. I don't
know. I don't know if he would be down for that.
No, we're not going to do that. What the heck was it? Yeah, I was going to say episode 200, so that will be probably a lot of fun, not so much Hunter news and things like that, but a lot of reminiscing and thanking and saying goodbye and just having a good time and hopefully bringing out some memories of the show. And if you guys as listeners have, you know, any memories or things that particularly stand out to you, any episodes that you particularly enjoyed, yeah, send those in an email to us so we can kind of mention all of those. And I think it's going to be fun. So I am looking forward to that episode. Not necessarily to the whole thing ending, but yeah, I am looking forward to that episode. But today is not episode 200, as you
right.
said. It's episode 199, and we actually do have a few little snippets of Hunter news as we these doldrums that, you know, BlizzCon has left us. But
it's,
you know,
really
a few
been
snippets here there.
Yeah, I don't know if this is because last year there wasn't a BlizzCon, and I wasn't really blogging frequently prior to that. So I've been doing guest articles forever, but for a long time it was the WHU was Frostheim was doing 90% of the writing. So I don't really know like what type of news cycle highs and lows we've gone through in the past. But really, since BlizzCon, there has been a dearth of tangible information about. And it's not just been Hunters either. It's just been a lot of sort of developer interviews talking about. So we're getting opinions and ideas and possibilities, but no concrete news of, hey, here's some new stuff. So we do have some more of that today. Some of it gives us some interesting insight into what's going on behind the scenes. But it's really been a couple months since we've seen, really since BlizzCon, since we've seen anything big and tangible come out about not just the Hunter class, but a lot of different classes.
Well, that was the thing, too. I mean, you know, normally, part of the thing, too, with this BlizzCon, the one thing they did not do, even though they had the big expansion announcement, they didn't have a class panel where they talked about classes and class changes. So that really wasn't a focus of their discussion. Mm-hmm. This time around. So other than the level 100 talents, we didn't really get too much insight into some of the changes they had planned for the classes. So that in and of itself was missing. But I mean, the conventional thinking is that it'll ramp up here in the next month or two. A lot of people seem to feel like maybe there'll be a beta announcement for sometime in February, which is, you know, a month away. I mean, certainly Mists of Pandaria beta, if I'm not mistaken, started in March of, whether it was 2012, I believe, whenever that came. But it was in March. That's the month that beta started, and we know that it was released in September. And if Warlords of Draenor is further along, which Ghostcrawler seemed to think it was, or as he thought it was at the time of BlizzCon, that Warlords of Draenor was further along than Mists of Pandaria was at that same time, that you'd actually get a beta release maybe a month earlier in an actual expansion release a little bit earlier. But we'll see.
Yeah. So we do have some news. There was actually some Hunter news as far back as, so there was a patch 5.4.2 that came about. It was mid to late December, and I don't know that we've covered some of that. So there was a couple small Hunter changes there, and then one sort of general change, or not change, but announcement that came out. Gems in Warlords of Draenor will no longer have primary stats on them. So that was an announcement coming from Blizzard, and of course not class specific, but it's going to affect all the classes in some capacity.
Right, so no more red agility gems, intellect gems, and so that has a big impact on the game. I understand why, and part of the reason they're doing this is, so one of the changes they're doing to armor, and this doesn't affect Hunters so much as it does, say, like the hybrid classes, that they're going to make it such that when you get a piece of gear, say a chest piece, if you switch from, say, a Retribution Paladin and spec into being a Holy Paladin, that the armor is going to switch with you. So your strength will switch, magically become intellect at that point. And same thing with the set bonuses. So you don't need to keep multiple sets of gear. And in order to help accommodate that, they felt they didn't want to have you regem every time you did a respec like that. So they were just making the gems into secondary stats, which will also be, I think, a little bit different, some of those stats. I don't know if it's just going to be like crit, haste, that type of thing, or if they're also going to have gems with some of those, I don't know, tertiary stats like readiness and some of these other things, those cleaves and things that they had been talking about.
Yeah, the cleave and the movement speed, possibly, or PvP power. You know, there's some possibilities there. So the one thing I can see this changing a little bit with popular theory crafting is any hunter who's ever really looked into this or tried to min-max their gemming at some point has put a bunch of agility gems in, ignoring the gem bonuses and the additional stats that comes with the gear when you do the correct colors, because it might be some worthless secondary stat, or not worthless, but much less important. So doing two gigantic agility gems instead of an agility gem and some hybrid gem was actually more advantageous to your DPS. And so this might be a slight tweak so that everyone's using the gem slots and like it was intended, maybe. So
yeah, and I think I said it, a lot of it has to do with that those gear changes that they did. Yeah, and some BM Yeager is saying, they said that tertiary on gems was no or unlikely. So it looks like it is going to be things like crit, haste, and magic.
Yeah,
so
if okay.
And things that won't impact, you know, you switching specs to that greater degree. And I think there was just going to be fewer gem slots overall. So, I mean, this is a big impact to the game. It changes the way you think about gemming. It has an impact on the economy. You know, there's a lot of questions about, is jewel crafting going to be as good a profession as it once was? I mean, you know, should you continue with jewel crafting? Something I'll have to wait and see, because I have jewel crafting on my hunter, and I'm like, oh, maybe it's time to consider dumping that, and maybe do I want to pick up alchemy or something else that just gives me. But we'll have to wait and see how the professions shake out, as well as the garrisons too, where we might have access to parts of different multiple professions via that. So it's, I wouldn't, you know, log into the game now and start dumping your professions based on what we know, because we don't know nearly enough to make that kind of decision, but it's something I certainly have in the back of my mind.
Yeah, yeah. So there were a few hunter changes specifically, too, that within the last few weeks that I'm not sure we've covered on the show, and one of them, at least, is going to be a minor but still significant PvP change for hunters, and this came through. This isn't something for Warlords of Draenor. This was in the most recent patch or mini patch. It was 5.4.2. The first is that there's just a couple hot fixes. There was an issue where battle pets were receiving spirit bond, and that was, I mean, that sounds awesome, but yeah, it was just a mistake. So they resolved that issue, and they will no longer be receiving the benefit of spirit bond. And the other was that deterrence modified by the talent Crouching Tiger, Hidden Chimera should now correctly provide immunity to physical interrupt effects, which is good, you know, small thing, and again, probably more a PvP thing than anything.
Yeah, I remember the battle pets thing was kind of funny. So those are the, I mean, I really haven't done much in the way of pet battles at all, so I hadn't really saw that, knew that was a possibility, but that was an interesting fix that they were actually benefiting from Spirit Bond.
Right, right. And I'm saving this one for last because it goes into another sort of stealth change that I don't think was ever in any of the patch notes. So Revive Pet now has a cast time of 2 seconds, which is down from 4 seconds. But pets can no longer be dismissed while in arenas. So apparently there were a lot of hunters that were using this in a way that was unintended originally by the designer. So when a pet was either near death, they were swapping it out for one at full health, or to get different buffs, different interrupts. So there's a lot. If you're really adept at switching pets, and there's been macros at various times that do this sort of thing, you can really gain an advantage by doing this. And apparently that was never an intended use of pets in arenas. So those two kind of go together. It does come as a bit of a disappointment to many PvP hunters having seen the reaction, but I think this is probably something that was on their radar for a while, and you know, given the fact that it was never intended as the way hunters should be playing in arenas.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we did talk about this one, and I haven't really heard much fallout from it, but other than it sounded like a fairly decent nerf to hunters in arenas, or at least, I think switching out pets and managing that on that level was a big part of playing hunters in arenas, and so they just, I certainly haven't heard of anyone, you know, hunters not being taken to arenas, not doing as well in arenas, but I mean, I think it was a, you know, it makes sense. I mean, the idea of being able to swap pets is just as soon as one was low on health or you wanted to pull out one with a different ability or a different buff, I mean, seemed like it was a pretty decent advantage. So I understand why they wanted to cut that out, and they did some things to compensate for that. One of the big ones was they changed the cast time of revive pet to, I think it was 2 seconds, and as BM Jaeger was saying, with the assurance of consequence trinket, revive is like 1.5 seconds, which is great for PvE. I mean, that's pretty sweet. If you're in a raid or something like that and your pet happens to die or whatever, you can bring your pet back up like that in no time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I'm gonna divert us here because I'm having a side conversation with Frostheim that
I was just doing that too.
Be,
I think
so interested in
Yeah, he created the Hunting Party Podcast episode 200 trailer. I'm gonna try and push it through here to you guys so we can all listen to it at once. So this is, I think I've got it figured out.
Yeah, there's a way you can pump that through Google Plus. So we're going to attempt that, or rather, Dark Brew is going to attempt it, and I'm going to sit here. So if you don't hear anything for a little bit, our apologies. But yeah, we're going to give it a shot.
All right.
The Hunting Party Podcast. Over 5 years and 200 episodes of epic hunter knowledge. And on January 18th, it's all coming to an end. As the world of Warcraft has grown and evolved, the Hunting Party Podcast has grown and evolved with it. We have been with you every step of the way. We have brought you the best minds in theory crafting and the best hunter players in the world. We have been with you for the best and worst of times, streaming through the internet superhighway live every week. We have championed the hunter cause and helped lift the hunter community over the pale limitations of the support classes. We have found the best hunter pet for the DPS. But the Hunting Party Podcast has been more than just a source of hunter news. It's been about laughter, alcohol, math, and friendships. In other words, it's been about life itself, about how to top the charts in-game or out. So join us for the final episode and help us celebrate the close of something wonderful. Come party live with Riffies, Dark Brew, Frostheim, Alisander, Art, Michelle Mara, Zahara, and Big Red Kitty. Episode 200 happens on January 18th, 2 p.m. Eastern Time at huntingpartypodcast.com.
And there you go.
Holy
very,
shit.
Very well done.
Awesome. I'm psyched.
Yeah. So what did we talk about? We were talking about the arena changes and, yes, the whole dismiss pet. But the bonus there was what we were getting to was the revive pet, which I'm sure is probably good in arenas, but it really had a nice benefit to those of us in who do primarily PvE. And whether you're out soloing or whatever you do, all kinds of applications, when your pet dies, you can just bring him back up. It almost diminishes the usefulness of the Heart of the Phoenix ability. The revive pet is almost that quick now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So if you're using that well, you're going to be okay. And again, the pet swapping was never really intended, so it should be a decent compromise. Probably still a bit of a nerf for PvP, but in the scheme of things with balancing, it's going to be a smaller deal than many other changes that we've undergone. I'm pretty sure we do have Ali now. I can hear, I can hear some background noise and stuff. Ali, are you with us? Okay, never mind. So yeah, that trailer sounded awesome. Thank you, Frostheim. And I'm linking it in the chat room. I don't see Frostheim with us anymore in the chat room, but thank you very much. And for making that, there is the link in the chat room. If you'd like to listen to it, that'll be posted very, very soon on the WHU as well.
Yep, I'll post it on the Brew Hall, and someone suggested we send it off to the Realm maintenance folks. That's a good idea. They like to post these kind of clips. I'll absolutely do that.
I think that's
a good idea.
Make it a big going away party. It'll be awesome.
So what's next? So we do have a bunch of Hunter tweets. Celestalon, yes, who's kind of the new Ghost Crawler, I guess he's sort of been taken up that put on that hat, has been very active, and on Twitter, and not just talking about Hunters, but talking about World of Warcraft and class stuff in general. In fact, one of the things I didn't link in here was he had a tweet out to his folks. He noticed that when he would reply back to other Twitter users, that most people that follow him would miss out on those replies. So he found the workaround so that we would actually get to see those replies in our main. So it's nice that he's concerned about that and wants us to, hear what he has to say. And so this is good. I think he's sounds like he's got a good understanding of kind of the shoes that he's filling, and sounds like he's ready to just get beat over the head and just massacred by this wonderful World of Warcraft community.
Yeah, that's pretty much the mentality you have to have.
All the rage and things. Right now it's like this little happy time, but we're just happy that there's a voice there and we continue to able to have these discussions, but that love will turn into rage and hate soon enough. Well, once we get to the beta, I'm sure, and they see the changes that have befallen their classes, that's when the worm will turn.
Yeah. So there was quite a few of these tweets. So let's just rifle through them here, because it covers a lot of different topics, and I think it does give us some insight into what's going on. So one of the tweets was, disappointed that AOC affects Feign Death and Camo. We gain zero benefit from those in PvE.
Yeah, AOC, I guess, being Assurance of Consequence, I believe, yes.
Yeah.
And so I guess it helps reduce the cooldown of those two abilities. Although I would say this, having Feign Death, I don't use it a ton or don't have a need for it to be available, but the more times that that's available than not, the better.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it being, so I don't know that there's huge, I don't see, there's no negative to that being impacted by, say, Assurance of Consequence.
Right. So, I don't know. seems like some unnecessary QQ. I don't think we even need to do the official response because, it's not costing anything. So, the next tweet, will readiness affect Hunter pet abilities at all, like Rabid, for example, or is it just going to be the same abilities as current Trinket? It says... different abilities than Trinket. Pet abilities are valid choices for us to apply it to, but we're not ready to list specifics yet.
And my understanding too, readiness, of course, they're not talking about our old Hunter ability readiness.
Right.
That's gone, and readiness basically is going to be one of the new tertiary sort of stats or effects that they're kind of be more prevalent in Warlords of Draenor, and I think they've sort of tried it out being on our Assurance of Consequence Trinket, for example. So the way that functions, that's something they're looking to introduce into the game outside of a Trinket. And again, what they said about these tertiary stats is, you'll be lucky to find some. So, the idea is, when you get one, great, but it'll be hard to kind of stack tons and tons of readiness, for example. Which is another, we'll see more of that once it actually goes live and we get to start testing it and playing it, but the point is that when they talk about readiness, that's what they mean. It's an ability like they have on an Assurance of Consequence.
Sure, absolutely. And that'll make sense, but I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. The next question was, have you ever considered taking Arcane Shot off the Global Cooldown, or GCD for short? And they said that's unlikely, that'd make hunters even more button spammy, and more importantly, would cause PvP burst problems. So we know how much of an issue burst is in PvP. That's been something that, for various classes, not just hunters, whether you know there's an ebb and flow to, but at times it's been ridiculously overpowered. So that's something they're always very aware of, and I agree that it might create some issues in that realm.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see what would happen. I mean, other than, of course, it has a very high focus cost, but, you know, if it weren't for that, then you'd probably just macro it into a bunch of things, but, you know, you still might find ways to macro it in certain places, perhaps. I don't know. I don't know that it makes sense to have Arcane Shot off the GCD.
Yeah.
So I could understand why they wouldn't want to go ahead and do that.
Right. And I don't think that's ever been... I think this is sort of a question out of the blue. It's not something that's ever really been discussed.
Yeah. I mean, it has a chance to sort of alter the rotation, but probably not in a good way. And not in a smart way either, you know, not in a way that makes you think or do anything skillful.
Right. Yeah, right, sure. Yeah, it doesn't... Exactly. Like you said, it doesn't add a skill or something that we can really min-max. It just sort of changes it for the sake of change, which isn't really a good thing. There was another tweet. Are there still plans to do a rework of the Hunter class in order to differentiate the specs? This has been a big, you know, topic of concern, something that we've been harping on for several months. And we've seen the beginnings of that with our level 100 talents. So the response was, I don't want to set hopes too high. We're not doing anything close to the Mists of Pandaria Warlock change, but yes, spec differentiation for Hunters and Rogues is up. Mainly, we're going to try to make rotations feel more distinct from each other so that they feel different to play. They're not considering it an overhaul. They're not calling it an overhaul. So there was a follow-up question then, like, are you going to change... mechanic, is focus going away? Are you going to add like combo points or mana or something? And they said, no, there's not going to be any new resources again. This isn't an overhaul.
Right, but I would say in by overhaul, I guess most people would view overhaul as being, all right, maybe we make Hunters a hybrid class where you can now be a legitimate tank with your you know, tenacity pets, or maybe your spirit beast turn you into a full-time healer. I mean, they're not going to do anything along those lines, or like we did with Cataclysm where we lost mana and they switched us over to focus. But I would argue that anytime you change the rotations, that's a pretty significant change. I mean, that really does affect gameplay. That's something tangible that you will notice and you would have to get used to. I mean, depending on how they change these rotations, you may love survival now and, you know, depending on what they do, you could find that it's drastic enough that you don't longer like survival, or maybe they do something to marksman that you would like that. So I think rotational changes are actually pretty significant. I would not consider them to be small, and even though they say it's not a complete class overhaul, I would not, you know, wouldn't want to diminish the potential impact of changing up the rotations for each of these specs, especially if they want to try and make them feel distinct from one another, which they don't really feel that different right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been, and again, this has been one of the bigger issues going into this. It was really the biggest thing that I wanted to cover when we did the Hunter Project a few months back, where we were suggesting different things. But either they already had it in mind, or they listened to the Hunter community, the Hunter Project among it, and said, okay, what are we going to do to make these feel different? So we kind of went off the deep end with some of it, saying, hey, we could have a tanking spec, we could have a PvP spec, we could have a melee spec, and, well, okay, no. It was the response to that, basically. Or it wasn't a response, but in what they're doing, that's been their implied response. But they are listening, they are trying to make it differentiated, they are trying to make them feel different, and I love that, because we had that at one point, and we really didn't in Mists of Pandaria, as good as we were in other ways. In MOP, it was a good. It's been a pretty good expansion for Hunters, especially early with Beastmaster and PvP. But this was like the biggest thing going into Warlords of Draenor, and it's good to see they at least know about it. I'd love to see how they're going to be doing this. I think we have an inkling of an idea with the level 100 talents, but we don't really know exactly how they're going to flesh the rest of it out. It sounds like they really do have some more ideas that they haven't revealed to us yet. So I want to see them.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you right there. I mean, you know, we're not going to be melee hunters, but we're going to use focus. We're going to be ranged DPS. We may use a pet. We may not use a pet. Have a pet by our side. You know, like you said, when you alluded to the level 100 talents, and who knows what other else they'll change with the abilities. I mean, and I guess what they have to do is either give us new ability, each spec different abilities, and that do different kinds of things. Like, for example, I don't think damage type really works as a way to differentiate the specs. If you said, all right, we're going to make survival hunters be more elemental type damage and poison or something like that, whereas, and if you make marksmen be
physical,
more physical kind of damage, that doesn't really work to make them feel different. Because
That's a jumping off point. That's not differentiation in and of itself. That's a way that you can take then different types of abilities and play them up more, or add different types of things that add to the feeling of magic damage or nature damage or physical damage. So if it's still just okay, basically a lot of the same buttons, minus one or two in each one, but more of your damage comes from physical here, more of your damage comes from nature here. No, that's not differentiation. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So like I said, we don't know what it is they're gonna do, but I like the fact that that's a goal, and you know me, I just can't wait to see it. I guess that's really all I can say about it at this point. Just have to see it. I really don't know what they can do. I mean, you know, the door is wide open at this point as far as things they could change.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So again, I want to see it. Blizzard, you've let us sit here long enough without new news. So that's my biggest plea right now. Like, yes, great, you're working on differentiation. What are you doing? Give us some hints at least, not just that you're working on it. But I mean, that's a minor QQ in the scheme of things. So we'll get all this information eventually, I know.
Yeah, and I mean, again, there was another tweet where someone said, "Hey, I'm a hunter player for 5 years now. I know you ain't heading for a revamp, though. I need to ask, will MMSV BM feel different?" And again, they just reiterated that is precisely our goal. We don't think that requires a revamp or overhaul. So like I said, I would just say,
well,
whatever you want to call it, this, I don't think it's an insignificant change. I think it's a big change.
This is sound marketing as well, because calling something an overhaul or a revamp does two things that are negative for Blizzard. One, it says that what they were doing was a failure. So large-scale changes to differentiate isn't saying that what had happened before wasn't working. Calling something an overhaul means that it needed an overhaul, or that's the message that it sends. And two, very big changes can drive players away. As much as there's been a consensus among sort of this community, everything that I've seen from players on the WHU, from the podcast, as much as there's been a consensus here, when we're talking about like the mass market, large changes have a tendency to scare people off. So not referring to it. So this is just sound marketing, not saying, and explicitly saying that it's not a revamp, not an overhaul. You know, it might be an overhaul, but I sure as hell wouldn't call it an overhaul, even if it was, for the reasons that I'm listing. So I think some of this is sort of the PR game that they're playing with the changes as well. Because if they say, yeah, hunters need an overhaul, they're basically saying, well, yeah, screw you guys in Mists of Pandaria. We didn't think hunters were good at all. And then a lot of people retroactively get upset for, you know, what hasn't been implemented in Mists of Pandaria. So it's a fine line to walk. So this is the type of thing we're talking about with the rabbit hunter community and being the face of it and having to be real careful about what you do and don't say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree there, but so, well, hopefully soon. Beta soon. I'm a little disappointed they didn't do one of those annual passes for Warlords of Draenor like they did with Mists of Pandaria, in part because they were able to give away Diablo with Mists of Pandaria, and they didn't really have something along those lines. Although I honestly did do the annual pass for Mists of Pandaria primarily to get into the beta. I don't think I've even touched Diablo. Although I suppose I should, since I they give it to you for free.
Ironically, Diablo and Diablo 2 were what got me into WoW, and it were one of the things that got me into WoW. It was like my entry level, my gateway drug to WoW. But I haven't played Diablo 3 at all. I don't think I'm going to probably.
But you know, so the beta was the guaranteed access to the beta was a big draw for me, and I'm like, oh, they didn't do that again this year, so I don't know what'll happen. So I'm hoping I'll get lucky.
Yeah, by the way, Ali Sonder is in the Hangout with us, but apparently is having some microphone issues. So if you can start sending her private messages instead of Darker Eye, they'll be more likely to be fielded. I know she's been active some in the chat room there. But I already thanked Frostheim on Facebook for making the audio trailer. I also apologize for the somewhat comical manner in which we delivered it here on the podcast, because you know it was a series of unfortunate mistakes surrounding it. However, the trailer itself is pretty epic. Like, it got me pumped. So I'm
kind of disappointed I couldn't do it. I mean, so not to get too much into the technical details, but I'm like looking in the Google Hangout, and they actually have a little app that they call it, which is a YouTube app. And it sounds to me like the whole point of it is to be able to feed YouTube videos into your broadcast, which is what I did. And I put got the link, and I see the video up here, and I hit play, but apparently it just came through my speakers and didn't actually incorporate into the broadcast. So I'm not really sure what I'm missing or what I need to do, or if I need to add it to a playlist. I'm not really sure.
Right. But in any case, it's very cool. It's going to be up on our respective websites here in the next week as well. And I'm going to try to get as many people as I can for the 200th. It should be a party. So, and oh, we're doing the drinking game too. I know we're jumping around here a little bit this podcast, but We're redoing the Hunting Party podcast drinking game, and I'm editing and changing some of the rules, because there were some outdated things. So I kept a lot of it, but there was some stuff that was outdated, and I added some things so that each one of the guests / hosts will be involved in some way. So if you have ideas for additions to the drinking game, you have about a week to send them to me. And Vulture Eye asks, how much alcohol will I need to bring to episode 200? All of the alcohol. No, I don't know. Enough to have fun, not enough that you forget what you're doing. Still with me, Dark?
I am still with you, so yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Looking at that video again, trying to troubleshoot it while you were chatting. So I don't know. Did we still had a couple more things
we did.
That came about there?
It was sort of a topic stuff. Right. It was a topic break because they had been talking about differentiation, and the next like series of tweets was about something entirely different. So it was the right place within the tweets for a little bit of a segue. The next series of tweets concerned tameable pets and mounts and things like that. It says, "Dear Santa, please give us a tameable mantid tank, tameable mantid tanks and pterodactyls in the near future." Oh, wait, Christmas has already passed? Darn it. So the response was actually, I was always bummed that the Ungoro OG, what is OG? Original game?
I guess the original game, I guess Ungoro dinos weren't tameable. That's what I take it to mean.
Yeah, I do wish the Tome of Dinomancy opened up more. It says ... HRMMM ... there was some more. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, this is one of those things that, you know, I think all of us as hunters have asked at one time and tried to wonder, and this is a basic question, why can I tame this, but I can't tame that? And I don't know, Blizzard has always... I don't know what goes into their thinking about what's tameable and what's not. When you think about those, what are they called? The lizard-like dinosaurs with the big spiky fans on their back, and I forget what they're called at the moment. But those were not tameable. But I can tame a T-Rex. You know, it just didn't make any sense. And same with like the, I can tame a pretty little parrot, but it can't tame a pterodactyl. It just sort of seemed random at times.
Yeah.
And never really getting an explanation for too many of these things, why you can tame them or why you can't, some of these, you know.
And he actually addressed that. Celestalon. Did I pronounce that right? Celestalon?
Mm-hmm.
So the tweet to him was addendum on that. Not that I'm unappreciative of your answer, just curious. The next one was, I'm fairly sure many hunters would love it if you looked into it. This was with the mantid tanks and pterodactyls. How about mantid tanks? Any chance for those? / nervous face. and the response was, I'd say it's unlikely for a few reasons, but who knows? So then they get into it a little bit more. So it says, not that I'm unappreciative of your answer, referring to Celestalon's answer, but I was just curious. I love psilithids. And would take mantid tanks over anything. Celestalon's reply was, you know, hunter pets are an odd thing and a source of internal debate. I'll admit to not understanding or agreeing with some of what is allowed and unallowed. So it's apparently there's some reasoning behind it, but they're not really taking us into the exact debate that they've had. And again, as he says, a source of internal debate. So I'm not going to say that what we are and aren't allowed to tame or ride or whatever is arbitrary, but there has been some confusion over why this and not this, like you said.
Yeah, and I mean, like this expansion, they introduce goats as a pet family, and they introduce, you know, goat pets in Missa Pandaria, but why not let us go back and tame Talbots, for instance? I know there may not be goats per se, but they're kind of like, I mean, you know, they're close enough. There's no reason that we shouldn't be able to tame something like a Talbot. And so, you know, those are the kind of things I wonder about. I say, well, why can't I go and get this now? It kind of looks like a Outlands version of a goat. Maybe I should, you know. Or just why aren't they tameable, generally speaking, in things like, you know, the Mushan, and I'm trying to think other things like that. All the creature names are escaping me today, but there are a few things out in Negron that look similar to Mushan that were not tameable.
Yeah,
so.
And, you know, we can't complain too much. They have done a good job of adding at least two or three trees of new pets each expansion, really, that I can think of.
They have.
Expanding the varieties of things that we're able to do. So, I mean, really, taming is, you know, this is a side of the game that we get to experience as hunters. So I've always considered it one of the cooler things that we have available to us, but and the fact that Blizzard takes it so seriously when it really is only affecting us and not the other 9 support classes is a testament to them and how much they care about you know, these things that make the classes unique.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And I'm trying to think, you know, like I said, but it just sort of seems arbitrary in some ways that you can tame. Like it can tame, and sometimes you say, well, maybe it's because of the size of the mob, and they're concerned about that. But, you know, they have ways of shrinking these things down to, and so that's not really an issue. And so I think, you know, and you can tame rhinos, for example, but you can't tame other creatures that look similar to rhinos in shape and size. So I don't know. Kodos would be one that would be fun to.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Right. But, let's see.
I mean, they've tried to give us reasons why we can't tame certain things, and sometimes they'll come up with reasons for things, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Again, I'm not too worried about it. I just, you know, it's always good to push for a few more each time so that they know we're still thinking about it. It'll be interesting to see which new ones. I've enjoyed the unique taming challenges that they've come out with. Not all of them have been great, and I would like it'd be nice to see a little bit more differentiation among that. At one point, they just got a little spirit beast happy. But
I mean, I'd like to see more in the way of taming challenges. And I thought kind of the ones they did in Firelands area with the spirit beast like Magria, you know, Banthalos, even in the non-spirit beast like Scar and those spiders were great. And then what they did with the 3 spirit beasts, the porcupine spirit beasts, I thought were terrific, especially the red one, Daegu, which, you know, sort of paid homage to the whole hunter dead zone, where you had to be in the right spot where he couldn't hit you at range and couldn't hit you at melee. I thought that was very clever. So I liked those types of things. I like that more than what they've done with, say, the older ones, like Lokwanahak, for example, which is just, oh, it spawns every few hours, and if you're lucky to get it great to you otherwise, you know. And you have two choices there. You can either do the endurance test and sit in one of his spawn locations for 24 hours and hope he happens to spawn at that spot, or you can just, you know, hope to get lucky and show up and fly around for a little bit. I don't like that. I mean, some people like that, and they feel like that's quote-unquote challenging, but I don't know that. I think it's more luck than skill involved in that, so I don't like that as a mechanic.
Some of it, yeah, absolutely. So this has inspired some discussion in the chat room. Ben is asking why we can't fight from horseback. That would have to affect all classes, I think, and it would probably also... I figure, like, the animations behind that and some of the coding would get real tricky.
Well, I mean, they have it in the game already a little bit with the Argent Tournament when we had a lot of those mounted jousting battles that was in that one instance, and then just the little quests and things you could do, so...
Do they really want... imagine... Hey, Ali!
Yeah, the Argent Tournament kind of gave horseback combat a bad name, though.
Yeah.
Because you say it and people are like, ugh, so...
Well, I don't know if this is terrifying.
I think you're fine. The overall thing was maybe a negative, and they're just not asking maybe the right questions to get the right feedback.
Yeah, I don't know if it's terrifying or awesome to think about, but I'm imagining like Alterac Valley with everybody mounted and just charging around, fighting each other in PvP. So
even better. With flying mounts, imagine in the repeatable quest in Hyjal for the joust, where you're flying the birds around with a lance. Imagine doing that with like 30, 40 people. That would be terrible.
I mean, one of the things that hunters have sort of looked for too is tameable mounts. That's something we've asked for in the past, and I don't know that we'll ever see that, only because they tend to have a lot of achievements tied to the number of mounts you get, and that might have the perception of hunters having an unfair advantage towards those types of achievements. And of course, if you made those mounts something you could sell, that would be certainly an unfair economic advantage to hunters. Yeah. So there's, you know,
again, with the resources available to Blizzard, which are extensive, but there is only so much time in a development cycle. The fact that they're doing all of this, there's an infinite rabbit hole we could go down here with, you know, tameable mounts or taming challenges or more stuff that we can tame. Like, the fact that they're doing all of these things, or most of these things to begin with, is, I feel like we're somewhat lucky, because it is such a niche thing. It's very important to us as hunters, but in terms of the whole game, where it's only affecting one aspect of one class that doesn't directly affect PvE or PvP, I feel like I'm crossing my fingers that they don't cut that out altogether. I think too many people complain for them to eliminate this stuff altogether, but that they've continued to expand on it, I think, is pretty unlikely. Like, I wouldn't have imagined that, given how few players it affects overall. So, I wouldn't anticipate tameable mounts either. Doesn't mean we shouldn't stop asking for them, because it would be awesome.
Of course.
But, yeah. It's like, make hunters do 10% more DPS than every other class. We know that's not going to happen, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't hope for it. But, yeah. So, I'm just happy that we get to talk about this stuff at all, because it's a really interesting thing that I think draws a lot of people to the Hunter class, but it's affecting so few people that I'm really surprised that Blizzard keeps it going as strongly as they do.
Yep, I agree. But, I would expect to see more taming challenges of some kind moving into Warlords of Draenor, and I think we probably have enough stable slots at the moment, but that could change once the expansion hits, so hopefully they've got an easy way to increase that number if need be. I mean, 50 is a lot, but I have to say, looking at Dark Brew, and I've almost filled up most of it. I don't have too many left to fill.
Yeah,
it's not completely full, but he's close, and it's, you know.
You're much more of a collector than I am. I get all my buff pets and anything that I might have a use for, and I've only got really like one or two sentimental pets. Mm-hmm. So I really only have about 20, 22 in my stable. I have a lot of openings, but it's because once I get to that point where I have everything that I conceivably use for some purpose, I'm kind of like, I don't care too much about this other stuff. So, but yeah, for the collectors, it's still a valid concern, even with the 50 stable slots.
I mean, it is kind of ridiculous. I mean, 50s. I mean, honestly, even when I'm out just doing stuff on my own, the number of different pets that I actually pull out is so small. You know, I tend to use like one or two, or that the actual use I have for all, you know, 40 or however many I have in there is, you know, it's ridiculously small, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, when we talked about this with the Garrison, if there was a way in the Garrison to kind of put them on display and show them off and have them wandering around, that would be kind of neat.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly how that's going to work with Garrisons, but it looked like there might they might be working towards something like that.
They might be. I know they. I thought they talked about it with what some of your battle type pets. You might be able to have some of those, show off some of those. I don't know. I thought I heard something along those lines.
Yeah, there were two different distinctions, and one was specifically for the battle pets, and then there was something else that was called like a stable or something, and they didn't elaborate on it, and the implication was that it might be for tameable hunter pets. So who knows? That is not a request that's going to go away too. So if Garrisons are expanded upon, either later in Warlords of Draenor or in future expansions, I feel like that'd be a logical place to take it. So I think that's something that we might be able to expect at some point down the road. Do we want to hit, since Ollie is with us now, do we want to hit Lore Corner here?
Yeah, we could do this with something. So I don't know if you guys talked about this on the one of the episodes or not. I know in one of the emails, Allie, you were working towards your Lore Master of Outland, and you saw the one quest that was referencing DK's Death Knights, and we did sort of talked about that in the context of had they maybe thought about us going back in time with Warlords of Draenor. And I don't know, I was doing a little bit of reading or something somewhere, and it had turned out that I believe that prior to the Death Knights that we're familiar with for the Scourge, there was actually an original set of Death Knights that were created by Gul'dan and led by Taron Gorfin, and I believe those were the Death Knights that quest was probably referencing, because they were on Outland, well, I guess at the tail end there before it exploded.
Yeah, they're different kinds of Death Knights, which is unfortunate because I do love the Death Knights.
Yes, but I believe they were called, my understanding is that they were called Death Knights. See, I'm turning into like a little bit of a lore nerd here. This is kind of scary. This is what one expansion has got me interested in. There's actually some good information out there. I found some YouTube videos which give pretty good synopsis about the Alliance and the Horde that people have put together. I was like, wow.
I think it's really gotten a lot of people interested in the lore, just because it's so, even if it's not connected with Azeroth, it's a pretty rich history. They've always been really good with that. And with all the expansions and everything, there's just a lot of it out there.
Yeah, and with the movie too, it'll be interesting to see now, reading up on this, how it'll all play out in the movie, because there's a lot of ground they could cover. I mean, they mentioned that the movie would have Lothar and Durotan. Yeah, Durotan. So we know what kind of time period it covers, but there is a ton of characters and things that I don't see how they could possibly incorporate all of them into the movie, depending on what the story's going to be. But it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. But I don't know what time you guys started, so I don't know if we're at time or not.
We're pretty close to it, yeah.
We did have one question that someone sent in.
Yeah, this is easily handled, I think.
Yeah.
The question is just, for how long will the huntingpartypodcast.com stay open after the show stops? And who owns...
So I believe Frostheim owns the domain, so I guess that's going to be in part... up to him, as long as how he wants to, okay. How we want it. We haven't really talked about transferring it or someone maintaining it.
Yeah,
so it'll be open for as long as it as we let it stay open.
There's no plans to close the WHU. I have talked to Frost about that, and he owns that domain. Mm-hmm. He's keeping that open indefinitely, so I can't imagine anything would change with the podcast domain. It is It's worth noting as well that all of them are hosted separately on outdps.com.
Correct.
So that even if this goes down, there's a place to listen to and download episodes.
Yeah, and I've got all the episodes myself on my local computer. So I don't know how long Yuri plans to maintain OutDPS either. My plan would be to eventually put these all up on YouTube, all 200 episodes on YouTube, and then that would just live indefinitely. I mean, there'd be no reason to...
Right, it's not costing
party.
You anything. Right, exactly.
Google account. So yeah, so the goal would be to eventually get the whole set of episodes up on YouTube for people to just, you know, download, listen to, or do whatever. But, you know, would like to try and make them available in some capacity for you guys. So, you know, I don't know how long Audi Party Podcast will stay up, but we're not planning to take it down, I guess. That's all I can say about. That's all we could probably say about that.
Yeah, I just found a draft of an article that Frost never published on the WHU that has nothing to do with hunters and is it's some good material to use next episode.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
It is weird. It's about like it's weird. Oh, but yes. Spoilers, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, I pretty much cleared away all my draft posts, but I said if I ever do another blog, I think it's just going to be like that the half-written post blog, because there's so many articles and things that I get halfway through and then either lose momentum, lose steam, something I don't like about it, and they're like just all this half-written stuff, and it's like that's what I'm going to have, like the half-written blog, and I'm just going to... That's all it's going to be is just posts that are like halfway written.
Yeah, so I actually have quite a few things still planned here. So basically, the WHU is closing shop, and it will stay open. It'll still be available, but there won't be any new blogs as of about the 200th podcast. I'll probably then put up the 200th podcast on the WHU, and I want the last article up there, so if people just stumble across the site, the first thing they see, I want to be a resource list so that they know where they can go. Elsewhere to find hunter information. So if they stumble across it in a Google search or something. So really, there's the podcast drinking game. I'm working on the resource list. I'm working on a goodbye post, which won't be quite as lengthy as Frost Times, but there's still a lot of things that I wanted to cover. And we'll post Frost's audio trailer for the 200th, which was cool as hell. So it'll be a lot of fun. So not a whole lot of, again, it's been light on news, but a lot of sort of goodbye style things or, you know, anticipating closing shop here in a couple weeks. So just getting all those ducks in a row. But there'll still be activity for the next few weeks. Tell everyone you know to come back for the 200th. It'll be a great time. And, I think that's about it.
Yep, and again, I'm not closing up shop myself, so I'll still continue to try and be a little bit more active with the Brew Hall. I just won't be podcasting anymore. So and
we'll definitely try to point people towards the Brew Hall as well.
Yeah, and I need to try and see what some of the resources are too that you're coming, because you know I looked at the blog role that I had on there, and it's like wow, gone. This person's gone. This person.
Right.
So many of them are basically inactive at this point. It's unbelievable, really.
Yeah. So you've got some big ones like there's your general sites. So like your MMO champion, which will have all your blue posts, all your tweets, everything like that, new patch updates. And Wowhead is the other great one. So those two right there are sort of all the nuts and bolts stuff. There's the WoW Insider blogs. So pointing them towards scattered shots. There's your site, and then things like Female Dwarf, Ask Mr. Robot, even Elitist Jerks, which I know used to be a lot bigger than it is now, but it still has an active and intelligent hunter community. So if you can wade through all of the different forum posts there, there's actually some good information to be had. I go there when I'm looking at when I'm looking for recent soloing achievements and pet tanking achievements, because they have an active sort of soloing community where they talk about strategies for different fights. So there's still a lot of good resources out there. There's a couple other hunters in the hunter world that are doing great things. But between all of that, that's a lot of it right there. Between all of those resources that I just listed, like you can really do a lot to continue to min-max your character without necessarily specific guides.
Yep. And, of course, all that's going to change with Warlords of Draenor, so we'll see. And it may even get easier to min-max your character with some of the changes they're making. I don't know. We'll have to just sort of wait and see. But when you see changes like to the gems or whatever, I mean, a lot of those guides and information are going to be quickly outdated. But, again, some of the things are less complicated. You look at the talents. I mean, that's not changing a whole lot. It's like, what do you choose for level 100? I mean, it's probably not going to be too hard for folks in the Hunter community to figure out what the best level 100 talent is going to be. We already know how all the others work. I mean, gemming may not be all that complicated either if you're talking about crit, haste, mastery. I mean, unless they change the way those stats work, we sort of have an idea of. Yeah. And they've all been pretty close too, right? I mean, all those secondary stats have been pretty close in terms of how they affect.
Even more so than in the past, yeah, absolutely. Yes. So, I mean, go ahead.
So even if you make like the I don't want to say it's not even a matter of making the wrong choice. You may not choose like the optimal choice, but you know the choice you make isn't gonna destroy your DPS or your raid or bring you into ruin. You know.
Yeah. Well, you want to hit the outro?
Yeah. Let's do it. And so no show next week, obviously.
Yep. No show next week, but it'll be all in build up towards the 200th. Again, it's going to be a great time. I'm excited.
Yeah.
A little sad, but at the same time, we're going out with our largest and hopefully coolest show ever. So with that, you have been listening to episode 199 of the Hunting Party Podcast. I'm Arth from the Warcraft Hunters Union.
And I'm Dark Brew from thebrewhall.com and the Brew Hall on Twitter.
And I'm Alexander from the Hunting Party Podcast.
Check us out on iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or at our RSS feed to your reader, and we'll, of course, have these links in our show notes.
Also, if you like us, please don't be shy about leaving us a review on iTunes or YouTube, especially one where you tell us how much warlocks need nerfed.
You can submit a title for this week's show by emailing us at huntingpartypodcast@gmail.com and get it in quick.
All right, stay thirsty, my friends, and remember to drink your dark brew lager.
For the Horde!
And in honor of my boss who is here and gave us that epic audio trailer, don't forget to pay your dues.
All right. I was going to wonder, because I saw your post, and you said you were kind of wishing you had said that as your outro. And I said, well, you know, you should say it. It makes sense. You sort of took over the role and the mentor, you know, owner of the Warcraft Hunters Union, if you will.
And, you know. Well, we'll give it back to him in 2 weeks. So I'm gonna have
that's
to,
right.
I got something planned, though. So it's... We'll have the Nerf Canada, but that's not going to be it. So we'll see. So speaking of, really, like you said, it's probably going to be a lot of retrospective stuff, sort of reminiscing. I think we can guide that discussion a little bit, and I think probably at least for the official show, like pre-post show, it might be a little tricky to handle, and we might want to sort of have, okay, here's the question, and then like go down the line for like, hey, BRK, what's your favorite memory? And so that we're not all trying to talk over each other. I think there'll be a little bit of a juggling act with that so that we're not just like constantly stepping on each other's toes. So that's why I want to get the show notes out to everyone, and you know, post show we'll just let happen, whatever, I'm sure. But and the other thing is, I think we should do like extended introductions and bios of everyone at the beginning to sort of like introduce everyone for posterity, you know, so that when we have episode 200, we can say this is what all these people have done. Here's who they are, because our listeners will know. But you know, if someone else is hearing this, God knows when, it might be a different story.
Yeah.
So those are my two suggestions. I feel like probably I'd love to have a draft by like next weekend, you know, a working draft that we might be able to send out and then just tweak as we get closer to the date.
Oh, sure, sure, we can do that.
So I will I'll add in a couple things that I'm thinking. I'm not going to change a whole lot, and then of course you guys can do with it what you will, since you're the one that normally puts it together anyway. And then if we can send something out, like the initial draft, to everyone next weekend, I think we'll be in good shape.
Yeah, that's what I'll put the draft or something together. You know, we'll do is we'll add all those folks as contributors, and then people can just destroy it.
Yeah,
basically.
So this post I found at Frost Times, it's called Living Room Furniture. And it's like, it's not, he must have been drunk. It's really weird. It's not grammatically correct. It's formatted ridiculously. Like, I just want to, have like a dramatic reading of it on air. So, but he's not in the chat room anymore. He kind of ducked out, I think, after the.
Yeah, he after we played the trailer. Yeah, I don't blame him.
Yeah. Yep. But
I'll get to find out too. I'll be good to talk to him a little more and find out if he's been. Because he said, you know, even though he stopped doing all of this stuff, you know, he was still going to continue to play the game. But I don't know how much WoW he's actually been able to fit in. I'll be curious to see if he's been able to play at all.
Yeah, like that's my tentative plan too. And I haven't seen Frostheim on. He's ostensibly still in my guild. I haven't seen him around. But then again, I'm not playing much right now either. I'm actually about to let my account run out, and I'm probably just going to jump back in and Warlords of Draenor. You know, use the Insta 90 to get a new hunter on my original server, things like that. So I'm excited enough about Draenor that I'm probably not giving up the game, but I'm playing right. I'm playing so little right now that there's no reason for me to keep my account open until it comes out.
Yeah, I'm sort of a little bit opposite. Yes, I'm looking forward to Warlords of Draenor, but I've actually been playing a fair bit. I've been enjoying the game a little bit more these last couple months. So since November, I've now leveled two hunters.
Oh my goodness.
To level 90 from 1 to 90. Like, I'm talking like straight up 1 to 90. So I plan to write a little bit about what that experience has been like. But yeah, so I did one horde hunter and then I did a Draenei hunter. So yeah, it's been fun. So I've got six hunters now.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, even with hunters, I'm just not an altaholic. I still only have the two at end game. I'll probably have three in Draenor because I'll do the Insta 90, so I don't have to level my other hunter. But
see, I'd like to take and I thought about that, and I decided, you know, for the Insta 90, I'd actually probably like to do that on another class, just to have something different out there at max level.
Yeah, it was tempting, and I'd probably use it for like a tank character because that's what I don't have a true tank class character, you know, other than what I do with my hunter. But I just, the amount that I play means that I barely have enough time to do what I want with one character. At most, I've done enough to really do what I want with two. So three, that third one would just sit there. Like, I really wouldn't be able to have much fun with it or do more than just level to 100 and kind of let it sit. Because since I'm so hunter-centric, you know, all of my time, when I do have it, is put into being the best hunter I can be.
Yep. And then just one quick update. So one of our listeners here happens to be a little bit of an audiophile and has offered to help clean up the audio from episode 196 where Roger Brown wasn't legible in terms of his audio, so I'm going to work with this person to do that. So hopefully we can get a cleaned up version of episode 196 and post show. So I'm not saying it'll be better than what it is now. I can guarantee you that, I think.
Yeah, so yeah. We'll it was possible to hear him, but it was a little tricky audio wise. Yeah. So yeah, that'll be good.
So I'm excited about that. That's what I love about this community.
Yep. Yeah, the community is going to disperse a little bit, but it's not going to go anywhere. It's still going to be around. It's still going to be one of the more active and vibrant communities out there. So, you know, even if you're just trolling the WoW forums, which I wouldn't necessarily recommend, but there's still a lot of cool stuff in the hunter world and a lot of great websites that really other classes don't have.
That's funny. Of course, that's where I started when I was first decided I needed to get hunter information. This was years ago. This was, you know, pre-Burning Crusade. And that's what I would do. I would hit the sticky posts of the hunter forums in World of Warcraft, and then I discovered Big Red Kitty.
Yeah. I came along like just after the era of BRK. I think he might have still been... No, I think it was the guy after him on Scattered Shots even. So when I really started paying attention to the community, and it was really the WHU that got me into everything. So I was a little bit in that next generation, but playing when BRK was doing his thing, but never actually I only knew about him from the stories later on and going back and reading some of the older stuff that he had done. So okay, I think I'm done. I'm gonna head out here. Ali, we're glad we got you on the show today, even if it was a little late.
I'm glad to. I definitely don't want to miss next time though.
Right.
So yeah, same start time. Well, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
I'm gonna be here wicked early. Guys in the chat room, if you want to show up like an hour early, I'll probably just pop on and be like pre gaming with you or something. So. So, yeah, it'll be a good time, but we'll have to talk some, and I did just send out, like during the show, I sent out the email to everyone saying, okay, it's the 18th, here's the deal, everyone be there, etc. So I sent that out, and then we'll go back and forth a bit with the show notes so that we're ready for it.
Yep.
Alright, well, thank you again, chat room, and we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Yep, see you then. Vibrant to cheetah to dragon hawk. No time to waste, cause I can jump shot. BM, MM, and SB. I can rock out. Razor Gore, Onyxia to Ragnaros.